Hey, it's Stephanie Staples here. Welcome to Your Life Unlimited. We are trying to bring you some ideas, some insights, some inspiration for a better living. Typically, I work with busy professionals who want to be happier and healthier so they can bring their A game to work and life. Is that you? Listen up. We got lots of cool stuff coming up this hour. I got a new Your Life Unlimited project to tell you about, some tips on how to become more inspiring, and my guest, Lori Lancaster. She is the author of The Absolutist Guide to Love. Will tell us what an absolutist is and convince us why we want to become one. But first, I'm totally pumped. We got a new project coming up on Your Life Unlimited, and it's called Valentine's Unlimited. So when is the last time you had something in your mailbox that wasn't a flyer and wasn't a bill and wasn't an invoice of some sort? We are partnering with Art City, and they are going to be sending out Valentines anonymously to people that you love and want to impress and want to just share a little good stuff with. The kids there are their inner city kids, and they work with them through art, and they're going to be making custom personalized Valentines. So think about who you know who might like to receive something in their Valentine's in their mailbox. They wouldn't know who it's from, but it would have a real stamp on it. It'd be made with love, not one of those Walmart Valentines. But all you have to do is send me their name and mailing address. Send it to Stephanie@yourlifeunlimited.ca. Stephanie@yourlifeunlimited.ca. Give me their name, mailing address, totally confidential. Everything will be destroyed as soon as the as soon as their addresses are put on those Valentines. And imagine the thrill when they open up their mailbox on Valentine's Day and have something special. It'll probably drive them an interesting bit of crazy wondering who sent it, but that could be part of the fun too. So anyway, I'm looking forward to partnering with those kids to create those Valentines. So send me the names and addresses and on with the show. Do you remember Pop Rocks? You know, the party in your mouth? I recently came across this blast from my past, and I couldn't resist purchasing a pack, even though the price had gone up like 1,000,000% since I last bought them when I was about 9. As a friend and I walked down the street, the anticipation of that explosion in our mouths made us absolutely giddy. Sometimes the expectations of things we have are so grand that the real-life experience was a bit of a letdown, but guess what happened with the Pop Rocks? It was awesome. The science experiment went right. The sugary pebbles hit my slimy saliva and the magic happened. They popped, they sizzled, they crackled. They bounced around in my mouth like Mexican jumping beans, and my tongue, my cheeks, and even my teeth were abuzz with excitement. Do you remember that feeling? My aging body was transported instantaneously back in time to a place where mortgage payments and taxes were not a part of my world. Instead, I was 9. I was carefree, and the days floated by effortlessly. After that package was popped, I made a post on Facebook. Pop Rocks, still a party in your mouth after all these years. My mom, of all people, responded to this post. My mom, who I have to tell you is in her late 80s, by the by, she's actually super enjoying Facebook, which is a whole nother story. But anyway, she asked about the post and she wanted to know what Pop Rocks were. So I tried to explain it to her, but honestly, it sounds a bit weird and it's kind of like sex, if I may say so. You can explain it all day long, but you really have to kind of experience it to know for sure. So I knew I had to go out and I had to get my mom the Pop Rocks experience. A little while later, I arrived at her condo with a package of grape Pop Rocks. And a spoon in hand, I ripped open the package and scooped out a generous amount to ensure she would get the full experience. While most people may be helping their aging parents by spooning pills into their mouths, I think this memory of spooning grape Pop Rocks into her trusting mouth is something I will never forget. I just couldn't wait to see what she would think of the experience. And of course, I didn't have to wait long to find out because the look on her face said it all. Her eyebrows went up, her lips pursed, her voice squealed. From where I was on the couch, I could hear the action going on in her mouth. It seemed like her cheeks were hollow. The spoonful that I gave her, okay, was probably a really generous amount, but I had to do it because I didn't know if she'd ever do it again. Well, that spoonful lasted quite a long time, and even though her lips were closed, she was laughing and I was laughing, and it was just a great experience all around. So, when you hear this story, what does it make you think? If you think, why is she telling me this? Well, that's probably not so good, but what I want you to think about is this question. What is your Pop Rocks? What experience from your past did you love that you haven't visited in a while? What experience could you recreate? Maybe it's pick up hockey in the street. Maybe it's those terrible for you sugary cereals. Maybe it's watching cartoons on Saturday morning. Maybe it's the last song at the school dance. You know it, Stairway to Heaven. How long is that song? I think it's like 18 minutes or something like that. Oh, I digress. In our world that's chock full of adult pressures and challenges and stress, may I suggest it would do your heart and soul real good to bring back a little childhood fun. To escalate the fun factor even higher, invite someone special to enjoy it with you like I shared the experience with my mom. After all, dancing to Stairway to Heaven on your own is a little bit sad. So think about what experience from your past you might be able to bring back. Think about how you could add a little fun and laughter and excitement into your life this week. And I challenge you to do it. And if you do, feel free to ship me an email. Let me know what you think and what happened. And I always love hearing from you. It's super cool for me. And while you're sending me an email, get me those addresses for who you'd love to get a Valentine for you. Big shout out to vivacity.ca, helping you get healthy and happy. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to the show. Big thanks to CalabriaMarket.biz, Southern Italian cuisine at its best. Y-U-M for yummy. I'm pretty excited today. I'm in the studio with Lori Lancaster. You may remember her voice, broadcaster, but many other things on her plate. She is also a speaker, writer, relationship coach, spiritual practitioner, and the new author of The Absolutist Guide to Love. I love this part. The last relationship book you will ever buy, but then she adds a caveat, unless I write another one. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Stephanie.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on, and this book is fascinating to me. Tell me how it transpired.
Well, it was a long project because I had been one of those people, and I know there's many who have said, oh, I want to write a book. I should write a book. And I actually started writing several books, one that I have like 250 pages in my closet. But for some reason, I just couldn't finish them. And I guess because it wasn't just the right thing that I was writing about. And so I needed to have some more life experience. So I went out and logged a few more miles, and then the time was right for this book. And what really inspired me to write it was I had lived a long time in a lot of suffering. And I really wanted to share that my experience because I came up with a few things. I learned some things along the way that I wish someone had told me when I was in that kind of dark place where I was that really freed me from that. And that was the inspiration for it.
You know, a lot of us too, I think I had my book in my head for about 5 years. And I think that's a not an unusual thing. But from actual writing to producing the book, how long did it take you?
Not very long. It just almost, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be cliche. It wrote itself because I had to write it, but it probably maybe 8 months.
The power of focus there.
Exactly.
So I really resonated with the book. It's very honest. It's very funny. It's very candid. How hard was it to share? You put it out there. You put it out there.
I did. My sister says, you know, one of the things was I had to deal with through writing it is all the shame stuff, you know, all the shame stuff I was carrying around. And, you know, it got to the point where I was just about to have it published. And I had like this moment where I thought, I don't think I can't do this. And then I said, no, you're going to do it. And my sister says, paint it red, sister. And so that's what I do whenever I have a shame moment where I have something come up or, you know, because I have conversations with people about my book or I get up and say things in there. I think about that. I'm going, yeah, because
I love that expression. Paint it red.
Paint it red.
Just and put it on out there.
Of course, because the thing that I've learned, you know, is that what we think is so shameful, other people go, right, because it's not about them, right? It's about us, and it's not that big of a deal. And you have more authentic. It clears the blockage of authentic communication with other people.
I feel that way. I think that's why I resonated with it. In my book, I throw myself out there too, and I say when I give it to people, I kind of don't want people to take it because it's just so much of you out there. But I always think, and even with the radio show or whatever it is, if one person gets one thing out of it, your mission accomplished.
Exactly.
And usually, we're the one person.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I did learn, like from being on the air on the radio for 30 years, and you probably can resonate with this, you're putting it out there all the time. You know, you're sharing your personal self all the time. And sometimes people write you not nice things. And you have to learn how to not take that personally, right? And because it really isn't about you, it's about them.
Okay, so let's talk about the absolutist. What does it mean? How, and why do we need to know? Why should we care?
The absolutist came about because I was at a workshop and we were talking and somebody, the facilitator said, are you an absolutist or a relativist? And talking about something else. And it really got this conversation started with one of my girlfriends. And so Trisha and I would talk about that. And really it was about in regard to commitment, like how committed are you to the principles that you live your life by? And so then that's kind of got me thinking along those lines. And then so the absolutist is really tied in. It's a political word used a lot in politics and with dictators and probably not very favorably because it doesn't allow for any kind of leeway. It's not relative. It's not dependent. It's not changeable. And I thought these principles that I talk about in my book, these five simple principles, they're absolutist because they aren't relative. They aren't dependent. And one of them is I take responsibility for my entire experience of life. And
ouch, nobody wants to hear that.
No one wants to do it. But it's not... It's not, well, unless this happens.
Right. Oh, well. Except on Sundays.
Except on Sundays.
And when I have my period.
Yeah, exactly. Or if, you know, if it's my partner, right? But like, and that's what we do is that we say, well, I'm this and I believe this, but, oh, and we have all these exceptions. And so that's what the absolute is. It takes away the exceptions. You live by those five principles. Absolutely.
You know, it was interesting. I was at a workshop just last weekend and one of the questions they asked is, what do you know with absolute certainty? Like the sun is going to rise tomorrow. You know, like I know that with absolute certainty. And you don't ask yourself questions like that very often.
Right.
Right. That really make you think, well, so I'm going to ask you, Lori, what do you know with absolute certainty?
Oh, I know with absolute certainty that life is good. I know with absolute certainty that all people, everyone has goodness at the center of them. And that is something that has been a really hard lesson for me to learn. And that's why when I speak about those principles, that I can have relationships with people and I can see them as kind and loving people at the center, whereas before I would see them as mean and nasty and evil and have to hurt me. And that's really helped. So I do know that. Sometimes that's not my first reaction when I'm dealing in those
sometimes
things.
Sometimes we forget.
Yeah. So I do know that. And I know that I am one of those. I am included in that. One of those people that is kind and decent and good at the center.
So your book is about, it's about relationships. Well, it's about love relationships specifically. Mm-hmm. But when I was reading it, I could completely see how you could transfer all of that, the knowledge and tips and ideas to relationships that weren't specifically love relationships.
Yeah, exactly. It's very transferable. I just spoke about love because, well, I have lots of good stories about my own life. So, and that's just what really spoke to me because that is where you see so much of discord. You know, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of suffering in partner relationships. And that's where we tend to put a lot of our projections and, you know, it's our intimate place. And so that's why I wrote it there first.
We should send people to your websites, LoriLancaster.com, mm-hmm. and they can grab the book there as well. We thought it'd be a good time to do it with Valentine's Day coming up. There's a lot of social pressures and social norms around Valentine's Day. You kind of break the mold when you're talking about norms.
I do. Because Valentine's Day for a moment?
Sure.
Because that's one of the things. I usually talk about it around Christmas, but I really have stepped away from the idea that you have to do things because someone said, you know, and really have people question, well, who said it and why did they say it and why am I doing it? So, for example, why am I having to do, you know, go out and do all these things on Valentine's Day for the person that I care about? Why am I doing that? Right? And just to really sit with that question.
Because society said you should.
Because someone on TV or the radio said I should go out and buy flowers or do whatever it is, right? And it's kind of that that manipulation that happens, you know, that I just have stepped out of. I just don't participate in that stuff anymore. So unless I really want to, if I feel called to do it, I will. But I don't do it because I'm obligated. And I think a lot of people feel obligated. And then resentment builds up for it.
I can see why you talk about that around Christmas because there's so much of that then. but anytime, really. You know, I wish I had this story better, but I was reading about the diamonds, like how, you know, engagement rings and why we're all wearing diamonds, because some company, you know, 100 years ago did a big marketing campaign about how diamonds are, that means you're loved forever, so you should save for 3 months and that sort of thing, right? But so who says?
Right, exactly. And so what I ask people to do in my book is to examine all of these, the set of assumptions that we operate by. So for example, in relationship, if we have ideas about my partner should be like this, because that's where a lot of the fights come from. You know, like
the should.
The should. I have this idea and you're not doing it. And so you don't love me. You know, all of these things, we don't even know where those things come from. And, you know, usually our parents and their parents and something we saw on TV or, and so most of us operate from this place that we're just programmed and we don't even know who or where the programming came from. And so what I say to people, break out of that and start really having this awareness and making decisions on your, what feels good for you.
It's a, it's kind of a foreign concept for a lot of people, I think.
Uncomfortable.
It's hard.
It's easy to be a sheep. You know, it's hard to not step outside of that because people are, the sheep are threatened by that, right? When you're doing something that is outside of the norm, they're threatened.
Right. Excellent. Okay. We're going to talk more about the Absolutist Guide to Love back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Hey, it's Stephanie Staples with your quick tip of the week. Are you inspiring? Not too many people seek out to be labeled as inspiring, but when you think about it, it's not a bad aspiration. Would people call you inspiring? Would you like them to? Here's a few things you can do to lead with love and encourage others to follow in your footsteps. Share things that are positive, uplifting, and loving. Put a great tagline on your emails, answering machine, license plate. We have enough negative influences. Make sure what you are spreading is not bringing others down. Choose helping over hurting. Always think of what you're about to say is going to help or hurt. Remember, not everything in your head needs to be said. It's sad but true, and you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the show. Big thanks to TiberRiver.ca. Even their website smells good. All natural products. Love them. Check them out. I am in the studio with Lori Lancaster. She is the author of the newly released book, The Absolutist Guide to Love, the last relationship book you will ever buy. And well, Valentine's Day is coming up, so it seems an appropriate time to talk about this. But you actually talk a lot about self-love.
I do.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's been
a lot. We're going to today.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about it. You know, people, I used to hear, you know, people talk about it or read books and they say, oh, you have to love yourself. You have to love yourself. I think, really? Like, how do you do that? What does that even mean? Like, how to, you know, because, and I'm sure maybe if I'd read more, I would have discovered it more, but it's more about your own resistance or my own resistance to that idea, because we're really not taught that. We're taught to love outside of ourselves always. And so we're always looking for something outside of ourselves instead of within. And you know,
to make us happy, you mean?
Oh, of course. Like everything. Like, I mean, what is relationship about? Oh, I want someone to love me, right? And really, that's not what relationship is about. And that's why relationship is in so much trouble, because you can never get from another person what it is that you really want. And what it is that you really want is to be able to love yourself. And that is the key. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, hear that, because it is so, so important. And we put so much expectation on our partners to love us, make us
happy. In a certain way.
Yes. And I don't know, like I look at myself and I think, wow, could I do that for anybody? Well, of course I can't. I can't. You can't live up to that because it's impossible. Because what really needs to happen is that person needs to love themselves. And that's why I talk about it. And so how do you do that? How do you love yourself? And what's really interesting is a lot of my clients that I work with, you know, it's about getting underneath to the belief that is causing havoc in their life. And most people, like 98%, it's self-love. It's worthiness. It's a deservedness. It all comes out of self-love, because most people do not love themselves. And so I deal with this a lot. Well, how do I love myself? And it's about doing things that you would do easily for other people for yourself. And most of us are uncomfortable with that. And it's about really, you know, when you're in a relationship and it's that first part and, you know, you're all crazy, infatuated and, oh, and you're sending little love notes, you're doing all those lovey-dovey things. Do that with yourself. do that with yourself. And it seems so awkward and so crazy. But if you can reach that level of craziness about yourself and really get interested in who you are, the way that you expend energy trying to find out about somebody else, that's a secret to it.
So what are some specific things that you did for yourself when you were kind of moving through your transition?
Oh, I always do it the hard way, Stephanie. I'm not a good example. I have good examples, but I'm not a good example.
Right, okay, so what would you advise me to do? What would you advise a listener to do? If there were to say three things, okay, if you're gonna do nothing else, here's three things you can do this week to show self-love or to start working towards becoming more loving of yourself.
The first thing that comes immediately to my mind is spend some time with yourself. And I find it so interesting when people find it very uncomfortable to do things like go to a movie by themselves. You know why?
Yeah, that would be a great challenge for you.
Wow. You know, why is that so? Because it is. Or anything.
Fear of judgment.
Of course. Or go to dinner by yourself. What happens? People go, oh, look at that person. They're by themselves. What does that mean?
Or that poor person. They're by themselves.
Exactly. And so what does that say about the person making that judgment? Oh, that would be torture for me to be by myself because I don't want to be with myself because then what? And so I think that that's really a key is to spend some time with yourself in doing anything.
It's pretty amazing to be able to love your own company. Like I love being with other people, but I'm pretty good. I like being with myself too.
And that's the thing is fall in love with yourself. Fall in love with yourself. How many times do you actually sit there and examine all the good things about you or what it is that you think about a certain thing? And, you know, have a conversation with yourself. I mean, one of the things that I really love doing is, I know people are allergic to journaling, most people, is to sit down and have a conversation with myself via a journal. And so I will start, writing to Lori. And then Lori will write back and we'll have this little conversation about a certain thing and not really thinking about it, just kind of unconsciously writing.
So that'd be a dialogue or a monologue?
Yeah, kind of a, I don't know what it is. It's an exchange. That is a really interesting tool to find out about some of the things that are going on inside. Another thing that I tell people is to pick things that are maybe not working for them, things that are, you know, procrastination is a really good one when we do things that are not loving towards ourselves. And to really be conscious about, I'm doing a loving thing for myself. And so I am going to finish this project. I am going to do my laundry, whatever it is, those kind of things, to just be really aware when you're doing an act of loving kindness for yourself. And to just take that focus off the outside or pick one thing that you do for your partner, your kid, your parents, whoever it is, like when you're doing something loving, like maybe you're baking something special and do that for yourself.
Cool. I think that we could all benefit from that. You also wrote about fascinating yourself, and I just love that word fascinating, and it'd be cool to be able to associate that with yourself.
Of course, to be just so, and that's what really love is, to just be so interested and so fascinated in this being that you are, because you are, you know, you are fascinating. You have all these wonderful ideas and, you know, this depth of character. So spend some time exploring that and falling in love with that.
Cool. You mentioned about journaling. So I'm going to just let you guys know that if you haven't been on my website lately, it's yourlifeunlimited.ca and you can download my free guided journal there. So if sometimes people don't like to journal because they don't know what to write or they just chronicle things that are going on in their day or this is it's guided. So it'll help you and it's free, FREE, yourlifeunlimited.ca. So feel free to check it out. Lori's going to be speaking at our upcoming Mo Mondays. Check it out, momondays.com. And there's one in your city too. So find out at the website, momondays.com. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to the show. I just want to send a big thank you to First Impressions Hair and Skin Team.ca. Visit them soon. And if you like what you're hearing, there's lots more free resources for you at yourlifeunlimited.ca. And if you want to bring a little inspiration, insight to your team, I'm happy to come out and chat with you. So let me know. And don't forget to get your Valentine's names in, names and addresses of people who you'd like to have a custom, personalized, anonymous Valentine show up in their mailbox, made with love from the kids at Art City. So I'm talking with Lori Lancaster. She is the author of The Absolutist Guide to Love. Lots of good information here. And you talk about four different types of relationship personalities. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I want to talk about that because we talked previously about self-love. And what happens is when you actually really recognize that you're the source of love, that you are the source of love, then you stop looking for it outside of yourself. And that's when your life gets easy. So then you can have relationships that are easy. They're not difficult because you're not
looking. Doesn't that sound great?
Yes. And it's true because you're not looking for something from somebody else because you already know it's within. So that's super important. And so what I talk about here is, I mean, and it's a process to get there. And so it's about identifying who you really are in relationship, because we're all sold a bag of goods about what love is, you know, from childhood, you know. And so then you kind of look at the different type of personalities that we call love. And I don't even like to call it love because it's not really what love is, right? But we call it love, romantic love. And I have identified some as the love seeker. And this is somebody who doesn't even know that they're seeking, but they're really looking to partner with somebody who mirrors part of their shadow side. And this is something I talk about in my book that, you know, I have been probably all of these in my life. When you're seeking something that is in yourself that you want to come out, and you seek that in somebody else. So, for example, I would do that often, you know, professionally. I would want to be, you know, doing something professionally. And so I would be in a relationship with someone who is doing that instead of doing that myself. So I'd be seeking those things that, you know, wanting to emerge in me.
Did you read The Dark Side of the Light Chasers? I think it's by Debbie Ford. Very cool book.
Yeah, no, I love Debbie Ford, but I haven't read that. Yeah. And so, yeah, she does a lot about shadow work. So those are just the things that we've sort of pushed down, that we don't even know those parts of ourselves that are there. And so we seek them out in other people instead of letting them come out in ourselves. So that's one. And so you're really attracted to somebody. And what we think is, you know, we're attracted to somebody, right, and we think, oh, it's because I'm in love. And that's
or,
not why.
Or it might be because we need to explore that unresolved feeling in ourself that needs to come out.
Exactly. So it's just about knowing that. The other one is the love searcher. And these are the people that are, you know, determined. I'm going to find me a husband, or I'm going to find me a partner, and I'm going to, and they're going to be like this, 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 this. And they have the laundry list of what they're going to be. And then once I find that perfect person,
then I'll be happy.
It's all perfect. And guess what? It is not. The other one I have here is the love grasper. And these are the people that are desperate. And you can feel that energy, that they are so desperate to have a relationship that they will just have a relationship with anybody to just be in a relationship. And once again, all of these people are seeking something outside of themselves instead of what's within. And so what's really important about all of this is that I have this favorite saying, which is, what you save me from, you become the symbol of. And so if I...
Ooh, say it again.
What you save me from, you become the symbol of. And so what happens is that if I'm unhappy and I'm seeking, wanting this relationship, believing that it's going to make me happy, so I get into a relationship and guess what? I'm all happy. You know, and that's the beginning, right? It's like, oh, I'm so happy. And then 6 months later, I'm not happy. So whose fault is it that I'm not happy? Well, it's your fault because you made me happy, right? You made me happy and now I'm not happy. So you must be making me unhappy. And that's the game. That's the trap that we get into. And that's where all the blaming happens.
So what do you see in your relationship counseling? What are people coming into you? What's the biggest issue people are coming in to see you about?
Well, first off, most people just want to tattletale on each other. And they want to make the other person wrong.
Are you seeing couples at the same time?
Like, yeah. Or just even if it isn't couples, even if it's someone who's single, it's like they want somebody to say that the other person is wrong and they are right. That's the biggest one. And that's, you know, and that's not taking any personal responsibility. So the idea of taking personal responsibility, for example, if you know, people think about the last fight you had with anybody, it doesn't have to be your partner, but it could be. And if you all of a sudden said, oh, I'm taking responsibility for my entire experience, this experience of this fight. Well, how would that be different? It would be completely different.
They'd go, what?
but it's really their fault. And then you try, I mean, and I've done this in my own life. You try and make the story bigger about all the nasty, horrible things and why this person's so horrible and what they did to you. And all that does is make you a victim and you lose your power.
Yeah, it's all about empowering yourself, right?
Of course.
I think that's the bottom line. Let's talk about what the absolutist, your principles are.
Okay. I have to get my book out so I say them properly because I haven't memorized them. No, I really have, kind of. So the first one is...
Don't you eat them, sleep them, and breathe them?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I have them tattooed on my body. I take responsibility for my entire experience of life, no exceptions. And that's what we talked about at the beginning. No exceptions. So it doesn't matter if your partner's nasty, if they, you know, they did this, they did all these horrible, horrible things. I take responsibility because really responsibility is my ability to respond. So your partner might be totally horrible and totally nasty, but you have the ability to respond to that.
And again, that's empowering.
Of course it is. The second one is I blame no one or no thing, no matter what. So you have to take away blame. You can never blame because, and this is the really hard part, and it was for me because I was in a not very nice relationship, and it was very easy to blame the other person, to say, no, I can't blame that other person because I'm here. I showed up for this. And why am I here? What am I doing here? What is my purpose here?
My job is to squeeze the lesson out of this.
Well, really, and to look at, you know, what do I believe about myself in being there? The next one is there are no random occurrences ever. Everything's happening for a purpose. And the fourth one is life is evolving for the highest and best good always. So no matter what situation I'm in, it's always for my highest good and to learn something. And the fifth one is it's all perfect. Absolutely.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement, and it's hard to accept and believe that when you're in the middle of challenge.
Of course it is. But you hang on to that, and that's absolute trust that life is good and it's always evolving for my highest good.
And we're going to figure it out. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow.
Maybe in the next lifetime or 10 lifetimes from now.
Maybe somewhere in between the next lifetime and tomorrow.
Okay.
somewhere in between that, I can live with that.
Right.
Okay, back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Well, I've had a great time talking with Lori Lancaster. She's the author of The Absolutist Guide to Love. You can find out more about her at lorilancaster.com and pick up her book. It's a really fun, quick, easy read, and there's lots of insight in there. You jammed a lot of insight. But if there was only one thing you could let people know, what would that be, Lori?
It would be stop looking outside of yourself for love. And this Valentine's Day, when I love your Valentine's and little Valentine's secret Valentine, send one to yourself. Start loving yourself.
Oh, that's a great idea. So while you're sending me names and addresses of people that you want to receive that, send your own. And you'll forget that you did. So by the time Valentine's Day comes, it'll be a nice surprise in your mailbox. Love that idea. Thanks a bunch. And check us out at Mo Mondays. We'll be coming to a city near you very soon. MoMondays.com and more information on how to live your life unlimited at yourlifeunlimited.ca. See you next week.